I'm Sierra Minot, Miss Florida 2008, and you're listening to the AT Tips Cast.
Welcome to the AT Tips Cast, exploring and investigating different implementation of assistive technology in public schools. I'm your host, Chris Bouguet. This is episode number 29, recorded on March 2nd, 2009. Happy birthday, Dr. Seuss! Whew! The last few weeks have been very busy, filled with two conferences. The first of these conferences was down in Panama City, Florida, where I was lucky enough to attend the National At-Risk Education Network Conference, or NARIN for short. I wasn't exactly sure what to expect as a first-time attendee. I mean, I knew what I wanted to get out of the conference, sharing how technology can assist struggling students and exploring how others were using technology to help those same students, but I wasn't sure how much of that would really be happening at this conference. So you might be asking yourself, Chris, aren't there other conferences to go to where you'd be assured of learning stuff about technology? You know, maybe like ATIA or CSUN or Closing the Gap. I do like to attend those types of conferences, whether it's kind of technology-centric, but only intermittently, because I like to branch out and spread the ideas and concepts of accessibility and assistive technology to the folks who maybe haven't heard about it before, or if they have heard about it, maybe it's not in the front of their mind. So by going to these sorts of conferences, you can kind of move that thought to the front of their mind. It's a gamble sometimes, like in this case, but so far it's worked out for me well, and NARIN 09 was no exception. As it turns out, there were approximately 150 participants at the conference from all over the country and Canada and even Singapore. On the first night of the conference, Sierra Minot, Miss Florida 2008, spoke to the attendees about her passion for working with at-risk students, especially middle school students. I know, it's a rough job. Sunshine, learning new things, Miss Florida in attendance. But, you know, what are you going to do? I got some video clips of Miss Florida talking a little bit about her experiences working with at-risk students, but it was pretty dark and there was this chocolate fountain that was louder than a turbine engine running in the background, so they aren't the best quality. But I still wanted to give you a taste of what she had to say because I really like what she had to say about her experiences working as a student mentor. I ran the audio through a little noise reduction filter, but I'm no expert in that department, so you gotta bear with me. Here's what Miss Florida had to say about a mentor experience she had working with at-risk students.
During my freshman year, I got involved in a local middle school doing the mentoring club. For 6th or 8th grade girls, we would get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and head over and bring donuts and just try to wake the girls up before school, the girls that would get there early, whether they had taken the bus or their parents had to drop them off early because they went to work. And we just would meet with them once a week. We would do some icebreakers and teach them some little lessons just about communication and self-respect and respecting your peers. And over time, this wonderful relationship built to where we had just a great rapport with the girls, and they really looked up to us as me and two of my other friends. And we had a group of about 14 middle school girls. And these are girls that come from, most of them, the majority, come from poor socioeconomic backgrounds. And I would now, with the knowledge of what an at-risk youth looks like, I would probably define them in that category or close to it. And I didn't know it that then, but I could see kind of the results of their struggling home life. So we ended up having a pizza party. We thought it would be fun to have the girls over to our dorm just to have on a Friday night, give them something fun to do. And we had them over. We played games. We danced to crazy music. And we had such a fun time. We had pizza for them. And they were so cute. And, I mean, I think we had almost more fun than they did, just getting to watch them. But when we were leaving, one of the girls said something that I'll never forget. She said, "Wow, I never really thought about going to college before, but now I want to."
Besides Miss Florida, there were a ton of fascinating presentations. I have a top three to share with you, but because some take a bit of explanation, I broke it up into two episodes. This episode only features number three of my top three things I learned at the NARIN 2009 conference, which I'll also call AT Tip number 40. Number three, audio, visual, and trainment. An educational researcher named Steve Taylor presented on the findings of the Future Hope Project, which was a program using audio, visual, and trainment with students. 10 special education students, 3 with an identified disability of autism, and others with emotional difficulties, participated in a 10-week program consisting of 36, 22 to 25-minute sessions, where they wore special glasses and headphones while resting in a reclining chair. The special glasses, they look like cool reflecting sunglasses, they flash repetitive strobing lights, and the headphones emit pulsating sounds that coordinate with the lights using a device called the David Alert. The idea is that these lights and sounds stimulate the auditory and visual cortex, resulting in an improved production of neurotransmitters that improve mood, reduce impulsivity, and increase the ability to attend. There is a little bit more to it than that, including analyzing a student's metabolic makeup by collecting a hair sample and having it sent to a lab in order to know which is the best way to program the David Alert, that it matches the brainwaves appropriately, the brainwaves being alpha, delta, beta, and theta. But for the most part, that's kind of the gist of the project. At the halfway mark of the study, parents were reporting improved sleep patterns and mood. In particular, the parents of all 3 students with autism reported increased cooperation and sociability in their children. At the 10-week mark, all students had demonstrated increased improvements in sleep patterns and social behaviors. 1/3 of the students demonstrated improvements in reading. Okay, so that's the background, and I was more than a little skeptical. There were others in the session with me who were also skeptical based on the questions they were asking and the murmurs I was hearing. I'm guessing as you're hearing this, you're skeptical too. With only 33% of a sample of 10, so I suppose that's like 3 students, showing reading improvements, how did this make it as AT tip number 40 and onto the top 3 things I learned at this conference? Well, here's how. As I was listening to the presentation, a quote from Batman Forever sung out in my head. There's this scene where Edward Nygma, a.k.a. the Riddler, played by Jim Carrey, is trying to get Bruce Wayne, a.k.a. Batman, played by Val Kilmer, to buy into his mind-reading gizmo and fund his research. Bruce turns to Nygma and says something like, "Brainwaves, Nygma? It all sounds just a little too dangerous." That might not be the exact quote, but it's something like that. As soon as that quote flashed in my head, I was ready to dismiss this whole strategy. But Mr. Taylor was presenting this as an alternative to a pharmacological approach. If drug interventions alter chemicals in the brain to change behaviors, then this is similar to that in that it alters brain function as well in a non-chemical way. I know there are many parents out there concerned about medicating their children, so maybe this would be an alternative to try. I mean, even if it just helped the students sleep better, and that's all it did, then the better sleep would help increase appropriate behaviors. So, in that case, maybe it'd be worth a try. Also, just the fact that this session was all about a device also got me thinking about whether or not this device would be considered an assistive technology device. The definition of an AT device is any item, piece of equipment, or product system, whether acquired commercially, off-the-shelf, modified, or customized, that is used to increase, maintain, or improve functional capabilities of a child with a disability. So, this kind of fits that bill. I mean, it is a device, and it's used to increase the functional capabilities of a child with a disability. Even if it's only helping the student sleep better, and not helping in any other way, then it's still improving the functional capabilities of a child. If you consider sleep as a functional capability, then this device could be considered assistive technology, and for that reason, it made the list. I'm not sure I'll be recommending this equipment anytime soon, but at the very least, it's an interesting topic to think about. I'll have links up on the compendium blog site, attipscast.wordpress.com, for more information on this project, as well as links to where you can explore the whole setup. I'll also have some cool pictures of me wearing the gear, so I hope you check it out. One last little side note here. I flew Southwest, and Southwest has a magazine called Spirit, available to all passengers. As a strange little coinkydink, there was a whole article on sleep and devices to help you sleep that also mentioned audiovisual entrainment. The article didn't mention anything that wasn't already in the session, but it was a strange little Twilight Zone moment for me. No worries, though. I didn't see a single gremlin on the wing of the plane. I'd like to thank everyone at NARIN for hosting a fun conference and thank the people of Panama City, Florida for being such gracious hosts. I wanted to let everyone know that Sally Norton Darr and I presented our workshop called Chew the Fat, Policies and How-Tos in Assistive Technology, and the participants who came reported that they enjoyed it and found it very useful. The second conference I went to recently was the Virginia Society for Technology and Education 2009 conference, or VISTE. Whoa, I learned a ton there as well. I'm currently debating whether I should do a top 5 to 10 list on what I learned there, or if I should just sprinkle those strategies or embed those strategies into future episodes. I'm kind of leaning towards the second one there. But I'd love to get your feedback on how you'd like me to proceed. Would you like a straightforward Vistio 9 list, or would you rather have tips grouped together into categories chunked based on topics? Let me know what you think by dropping me a line at attipscast@gmail.com, posting on the wall of the AT Tippers group on Facebook or Classroom 2.0, commenting on the blog site attipscast.wordpress.com, or sending me a message via Twitter. Speaking of ways to communicate with one another, I want to welcome all the new members of the AT Tippers group on Facebook, as well as all of you who have signed up as fans of the show on the Cyber Ears website. Both of those groups are growing, and it's a great way to get involved. In fact, members of the AT Tippers group on Facebook already got a special VIP early announcement regarding the big secret AT project I've alluded to in the past. Okay, so that about does it for this episode. See you next time for the top two things I learned at the NARIN 2009 conference. But until then, may all your interventions be inclusive, and may all your strategies be supportive.